Chapter 7. Vicky's pulse pounded in her head like a hammer. Waves of queasiness rolled through her stomach. With the TV off and Danny and Dad out, the house felt unnaturally quiet, like the hush of a breath before a scream. She forced herself to clear the table and wash the breakfast dishes. Abuelo struggled to help her, though neither of them said a word. In her mind, Vicky kept seeing the pained look on Danny's face as he had run out. "You're worried about him, aren't you?" Abuelo said finally. Mom was in her bedroom vacuuming, something she always did when she was upset. "Huh? Your brother. I worry too. You should go check on him. He's not as strong as you." Vicky stopped and stared at her grandfather. "I don't feel strong," she admitted. Her eyes burned for an instant. "Niña, you're carrying too much on your shoulders right now," he said, putting his hand on her back. "I don't know why God makes things happen the way they do. If Carolina was still with us, we would take you and Danny out of this house for a while. But she's gone, and I'm too old to do that now." "Abuelo?" "No, listen to me, niña," he said, cutting her off. "Yesterday, I asked your grandmother why she left me. What am I supposed to do? This morning, watching you and Danny, I realized she'd give me an answer. I'm here to help you too, and your mother. That's going to be my job from now on," he said firmly. His face almost seemed younger somehow, stronger. Vicky smiled, grateful he was there with her. Yet looking at him, with his walker and gnarled fingers, she didn't know what he could do about their family's troubles. "Thanks, Abuelo," she said, trying her best to hide her doubts. "Now go," he said, taking the dish towel from her. In the distance, she heard the whirring roar of the vacuum cleaner. "Your mother and I need to talk." Vicky showered and put on her favorite jeans and a snug ribbed tank top, just in case she would see Martin. Her jeans, which once hugged her hips perfectly, seemed a bit loose. Had she lost weight? Mom's scale said Vicky was 6 pounds lighter than she had been a few weeks ago. She knew she had been eating less. Most days, especially when her parents were fighting, she didn't have any appetite. Often, her stomach didn't feel right, and she had headaches. Great. Something else to worry about, she thought. She examined her face. Even her olive skin seemed a little greenish in the gray light that filtered in through the bathroom window. She put on some makeup to hide it and ran her fingers through her long black curls, hoping that once she checked on Danny, she could visit Martin. Maybe they could even steal a few minutes together. Anything to patch the awkward moment in school yesterday. Outside, a weak breeze swirled bits of trash at her feet as she headed toward Mario's apartment. She passed the small park where she and Martin had spent time just 2 weeks earlier. Three guys were sitting at the bench where they had held hands. The guys were a few years older, maybe in their early 20s. One of them was smoking a cigarette and watching her approach. Vicky noticed him, but her eyes locked on something else. A low brick wall behind them. It was covered with graffiti just as it had been before, but amidst the messy tags and sloppily sprayed names was something new. A sphere painted in silver and black with a lit fuse. Beneath it were words that made her stomach sink. T-bomb. It was exactly like the one on Danny's backpack, only it was bigger and newer than almost everything else on the wall. As she looked at it, she remembered seeing something just like it on the outside wall of Superfoods the day of Martin's hearing. She knew instantly it was Danny's work. Abuelo was right. He was in deep trouble. "Yo, girl, what you staring at?" yelled the man with the cigarette, snapping her from her thoughts. "Yeah, don't you know it's rude to stare?" his friend hollered. "Hey, mamacita, why don't you come on over and sit with us instead?" the third guy joked, pointing to the empty seat next to him. "I got a spot for you right here." He then mumbled something, and all three of them chuckled crudely. Vicky ignored them and picked up her pace, rushing several blocks to Hillside Manor, the name of the apartment complex where Mario lived. The community was a cluster of boxy stucco buildings in a U-shape around a courtyard of dead grass. At the front, a small awning marked the rental office. An orange sign in the dirty window announced, "Apartments available." Vicky ran through the gate toward the back of the complex, racing up the stairs to a second-floor unit, number 224. She was out of breath as she pounded on the door. She could see the light in the tiny peephole flicker. Someone was watching her. For several seconds, she heard muffled voices on the other side of the door. Finally, the locks on the door clicked, and the door opened. Felix, Mario's older brother, stood before her in baggy khakis and a t-shirt. He dropped out of Blueford 3 years ago and worked at a car wash not far away. A tattoo of a skull with a heart behind it was visible just beneath the sleeve on his bicep. Beneath it was a name, Rosa. He sipped a can of soda slowly before turning to her. "What's up, Vicky?" he said, examining her curiously. "You feeling all right?" "I'm fine," she said, uncomfortable in his gaze. "Is my brother here?" "Danny?" he said as if the name was unfamiliar to him. Then he paused a bit too long before responding. "Nah, I didn't see him today. Why are you looking for him?" Vicky was almost certain he was lying, that Danny was inside listening to her. "I just need to talk to him, all right? Is Mario home?" "He's here, but he's still sleeping," Felix said. This time, the answer was too quick, like a lie he'd made up just a second ago. He seemed to realize this and took another swig from his soda can. He stood in the doorway so she couldn't see into the suddenly quiet apartment. "Something wrong?" "Look, I just need to talk with him. If you see him, send him home, okay?" She didn't want Felix to know what was happening at home. Felix nodded, watching her closely. "Thanks," Vicky replied. Part of her wanted to barge into the apartment and begin searching it. Instead, she walked slowly down the stairs and around to the other side of the complex. She could see Martin's door. The last time she had been to his apartment, he had cried in her arms over his brother, Huero. The memory flooded through her, pulling her across the courtyard like a thirst. After everything that happened, she wished she could just crawl into his arms, erase all the confusion from school, and bury herself in his chest. Then they could just forget about everything else. It would just be the two of them. No family falling apart. No brother in trouble. No stupid misunderstandings at the end of a school day. Just the two of them alone in his apartment, with the world and all its problems locked outside. It was a fantasy she wanted to make real. Outside his door, Vicky hesitated. What if his mom was home? What would she think about a strange girl at the door looking for her son? Would she think Vicky was trouble? Her hands grew cold and clammy. Her stomach became a quivering knot of nerves. Twice she raised her hand to the door, only to lower it. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. She knocked. She heard footsteps, and then the door opened to reveal Martin's mom. For a second, her mind went blank. "Hi, Mrs. Luna. I go to school with Martin and... I remember you," Mrs. Luna interrupted, her eyes widening as she spoke. "You were at the hearing the other day. You're Vicky, right? The one who helped Martin?" "Yes." "I'm so glad to meet you," Mrs. Luna beamed, giving her a warm hug. "I never got a chance to thank you for helping him. He's lucky to have a friend like you." Vicky cringed inside at the word she used. Friend. Is that how Martin had described her? After the way he had stormed off on Friday, maybe that was all they were going to be. "Is Martin here?" Vicky asked, struggling to hide her feelings. "No, he's visiting his brother at the cemetery." "It's 3 months since he died," she said, her voice wavering for a second. Vicky winced. "I'm sorry," she said, feeling a wave of guilt. She had no idea Martin had such a sad anniversary on his mind this whole week. Why hadn't he told her? And yet, she knew she hadn't told him anything about her troubles either. They had barely talked. "It's okay," Mrs. Luna said quickly, wiping her eyes. "He goes when he needs to think. He said he'd be back at dinner time. Why don't you call him then?" "I will," Vicky said, feeling sorry for making Mrs. Luna so sad. "And if there's anything we can ever do for you, Vicky, let me know. Maybe you and your family can come over for dinner or something. We still don't know many people in this neighborhood, and it would be nice to meet someone new." "That would be great," Vicky said. Sure, it would never happen. Since he had lost his job, Dad didn't want to see anyone, especially their neighbors. Mrs. Luna gave her another hug as they said goodbye. "It's been so hard for Martin since we moved here. I know he gets angry sometimes, like the counselor said, but he's a good boy. Thank you for helping him." Vicky smiled and walked away, wishing Mrs. Luna had stopped talking to her as if she was Martin's big sister. On her way home, Vicky passed the park again and glanced back at the graffiti-covered wall. Danny's time bomb blades like a neon sign. Whoosh! A thunderous wave hammered against the beach. Vicky watched the wall of water explode into angry white foam and roll back into the boiling sea. Her father was at the water's edge facing her, the ocean behind them. Danny was in front of him. It was the same beach as in Abuelo's picture, the place where they used to laugh. Only now, the ocean was furious. The waves roared and growled hungrily at them. "Come on, buddy," Dad said, holding his hand out to Danny. "I won't let anything happen to you." Vicky could see the ocean building behind him, a wall of water the color of a deep bruise. "No, Dad," Vicky yelled. But her voice wasn't loud enough against the pounding waves. They couldn't hear her. The wave loomed closer, piling up higher, a moving mountain of water already taller than her father. Danny cried, but her father ignored him, grabbing his little hand and yanking him forward. "No!" Vicky screamed, rushing toward the water. Danny and Dad were too close. The wave roared at them like a jet plane. Vicky tried to reach them, but the sand was too thick. It swallowed her feet and held her still. "No!" An avalanche of water crashed down on Danny and Dad. She watched them vanish in the angry surf. Then she heard her father scream. "Princess!" Dad called. He held Danny in one arm and flailed helplessly with the other. Danny was motionless. They were being dragged out to sea. "Help!" Dad gasped, choking against the water. He tried to swim, but the current was too strong. His head bobbed under the surface. Vicky reached the water's edge. She lunged into the froth with all her might, but they were already too far gone. "Princess," Dad said weakly, his eyes full of sadness as the sea pulled him away. He disappeared beneath the waves. Danny sank with him. Vicky screamed. She bolted upright, covered in sweat. Her English notebook tumbled to the floor. She was on the living room couch. Danny sat across from her reading a comic book. She looked at the clock. It was just past 5 p.m. "Bad dream?" Danny said. "When did you get here?" she replied, ignoring him. "A little while ago. Abuelo said to let you sleep. He's going to try to cook tacos for dinner. Mom went to the grocery store to get stuff for him." "Dad here?" "Nah," Danny mumbled, flipping the pages in the comic. She could tell he wasn't really looking at anything. "Why'd you come to Mario's today?" Vicky wiped the sweat from her face and took a deep breath. With their parents gone, she knew she had a chance to talk with him. "I know what you've been doing, Danny."
"Huh?"
"T-bomb? I can't believe you've been tagging our park."
"You can go to jail for that, Danny."
"They've been trying to keep it clean for years, and there you go, like some wannabe thug throwing up your little design and messing it up for everyone."
"It ain't no little design. That's me up there," Danny huffed. And it looks good, just like one of these, he said, holding up the comic. I knew you wouldn't get it. That's the only place, you know, where I feel like I'm doing something real. School, this house, this place, it ain't real, and you know it. Just then, she heard the thud of a car door outside. Danny went to the window. Great, Dad's here. You're gonna tell him, right? So what? He ain't even gonna do nothing. He don't even care anymore, Danny added bitterly. That's not true, Danny, and you know it. Just then, Dad stormed into the front door, his face even more flushed than usual. His jaw clamped down as if he was in pain. He smelled of smoke and alcohol. He moved as if the world was invisibly chained to his shoulders. He looked beaten and broken somehow. It gave Vicky a chill. Ring! The phone screamed to life. Vicky winced. Not now, she thought. In the kitchen, Vicky heard the familiar metallic snap of Abuelo's walker. A second later, she heard his scratchy voice with its heavy Mexican accent. Hello? Who? Hold on. Michael? He said, holding out the phone. For you. Her father rubbed his temples as if he was in agony. As if he was a balloon about to pop. Why did you answer the phone? Dad growled. This is still my house, Diego. Next time, don't answer the phone. I'm just trying to help, Michael, Abuelo said. Help? Dad scoffed. His face twisted into a bitter scowl as he moved toward the kitchen. You can't help us. You can't even help yourself. Leave him alone, Dad. He didn't do nothing wrong, Danny spoke up. You stay out of this, Dad hollered, walking toward the phone. His face was red with anger. You want to help, Diego? Here's how you can help. Vicky watched in horror as her father yanked the phone from Abuelo's hand, knocking him off balance. Abuelo grabbed the counter to keep from falling, but still lost his balance and sank to the floor with a yelp. Dad, what are you doing? You could hurt him, Vicky yelled. Danny stepped in Dad's path, but her father shouldered him aside, sending Danny slamming against the wall with an ugly thud. Vicky couldn't believe her eyes. Her father had been transformed. It was as if some horrible beast inside him had suddenly been set free. A bomb long ticking had finally exploded. She knew she had to act. Dad whirled around and grabbed the base of the phone and yanked. Crack! He ripped it free, leaving a gaping hole in the wall. Now we'll finally have some peace, he fumed, his face purple with rage. He held the base in his hand like an upraised hammer. He loomed over Danny, his eyes wild with fury. Danny raised his arms to protect his head. Vicky was sure Dad would strike him. No! She yelled, darting between her brother and father, covering Danny as best she could. She braced herself for pain she knew was coming. Stop, Dad! She screamed. Stop! Her father let out a wild, angry grunt and hurled the phone into the opposite wall. Wham! It exploded against the cabinet in a shower of metal and plastic shards. For an instant, the room was deathly still. Vicky gazed up at the man in front of her. He had her father's face, the same height and weight, the same close-cropped Caesar cut and goatee. He wore the same dark pants and pressed shirt she had seen him wear since she was a little girl. But this man wasn't her father. Her father had never tossed her brother aside as if he was a rag doll or sent Abuelo sprawling to the ground. Her father had never screamed at them in blind rage. Most of all, no matter how angry he had been, her father had never made her as scared as she was right now. A line had been crossed. Her father huffed as if he had just run a race. His hands clenched and unclenched at his sides. He almost seemed unaware of them, as though he was struggling with something only he could see. Then, with a deep sigh, he rubbed his eyes and winced as if he was in great pain. Are you hurt? Dad said, his voice trembling. Abuelo shook his head as Vicky gently helped him up. Danny turned away, tears glistening in his eyes. While his body seemed okay, Vicky could see something inside Danny had been broken. "Vicky?" "Danny?" Dad said, then in a voice filled with sorrow and regret. A sound that tore at her insides like a dull knife. I'm so sorry. He stretched his arms open as though asking for a hug. "It's just these bills, this house. I lost it all." He shook his head wearily, and Vicky saw tears in his eyes. "I'm sorry." Vicky wanted to move but couldn't. She wanted to tell him that it was okay, that she understood and forgave him. She wanted to be able to hug him and go back to how things used to be, but she couldn't budge. All she could do was see what he had done a moment ago and wonder what might have happened if she hadn't stood in his way. "Oh, Princess, don't look at me that way," her father said then, turning away as if her stare burned him somehow. He left the kitchen and stopped at the edge of the front door. "No matter what happens, remember, I love you. I'm so sorry," he said in a pain-choked voice. Then he turned and left the house. Seconds later, she heard the harsh screech of tires on asphalt. He was gone.